Blog Talk Radio.
Time to dominate your fantasy football league. FF Toolbox presents The Takeover with the fantasy executive, Corey Parson.
All right. Fantasy footballers, the finish line is near. The finish line is in sight. We are getting ready to kick off week 15. That is traditionally known as the semifinals in your traditional 12-team fantasy football league. Two more wins, and you are a 2015 fantasy football champion. I am Corey Parson, the fantasy executive. Of course, as always, I got with me NFFC Hall of Famer Chris Vaccaro. Follow him on Twitter at Chris Vaccaro GST. If you are playing now at this time of year in 2015, consider yourself a survivor. The year of all fantasy years, you are a survivor. And now you are two wins away from the ultimate prize. Unfortunately, the gentleman that you are listening to have been eliminated from consideration of championships in the 2015 fantasy football season. Hopefully you still roll with us to take our advice as you look for those last two victories to call yourself a fantasy football champion. Last week at this time, Chris, when we spoke, I was done. I was no longer setting lineups. How are you looking going into week 15?
What's up, buddy? You know what? I'm looking like you were looking last week, buddy. That's how I'm looking this week. Last week was a nightmare for me. I had about four or five teams in a championship in the playoffs or you know, competing for a championship. And either they got eliminated in, you know, your regular 12-team leagues with, you know, six teams making the playoffs and everything. And in my overall championships, didn't put up the amount of points to stay in it where I'm relevant coming into week two. So it's not looking good, buddy, but I already chalked this year up as a, you know, as a negative a while ago, I guess.
Yep, Chris, that is the case. That is the scenario. Tough season as we go back and talk through it, go game by game, get you ready for week 15. We will discuss how we got to this point, what needs to be done differently in 2016, and, of course, first and foremost, everybody that is playing this week, we're going to help you to get ready to make your lineup decisions to go over into the next round, the final round. Kind of look at this as semifinal weekend, the final four of fantasy football, four teams in your 12-team leagues, duking it out for the title, of course. You can still get some DFS action going on if you live in the right states to help quench your fantasy football thirst. And, Chris, when I think about the 2015 season and look at all the things that are happening, what a more fitting way for the fantasy football playoffs to start. Before 1:45 p.m. Eastern time, Andy Dalton and Thomas Rawls both gone for the rest of the fantasy season. Fitting.
Throw in Tyler Eifert also right there with the concussion, you know, early in the first quarter. So people lost three teams. And I say Eifert's name, Corey, only because those three guys are on a ton of playoff teams, you know. The, you know, Eifert's the tight end that you drafted in, you know, in the 10th round that was a top three tight end this year that you see him scattered all across the board. So that devastated teams in the first round of the playoffs. So I mean, how much bad luck can you have if you're an Andy Dalton owner? And trust me, there's a ton of Andy Dalton owners in the playoffs because, you know, you waited on quarterback and you got your hands on Carson Palmer or Andy Dalton. You most likely had a successful season and rode those two guys to, you know, the fantasy playoffs. So, rough way to start, man. Rough way to start. But, hey, I have a friend that, you know, survived week one with Andy Dalton giving him a zero, and he made it to week two now. So, hopefully there's other guys out there like that.
No doubt. Have heard some of those stories this week. Have heard some of the horror stories also with all three donuts in certain lineups and teams going home.
It was a low-scoring week, don't you think, Corey?
Yeah, definitely. Another low-scoring week. We had a stretch of low-scoring weeks the past couple of weeks. A stretch of low-scoring weeks. We've had a stretch of low-scoring weeks. It's funny how you push it all balls down to remind you, we're playing a game based off the NFL. The NFL,
right.
The product is down in 2015. The product is down. There are 21 teams in the NFL this season right now that have records below 500.
What was the number, 21?
21 is 500 or below.
That's a, you know what? That's a great stat right there, Corey. That just shows how bad these teams are. You look across the board, you look at the rankings for the week, you're like, wow, where is the talent? Like, there's nothing, like, you know, you get past the top 20 wide receivers and it drops off. But at running back, it's like five or six guys that are, like, good big-name running backs that are talented. After that, it's garbage. Like, there's just – and the quarterback position, man, don't even get me started about the quarterback and tight end positions. It's just – you hit it on the head. It's the – worst product, the worst season in a long, long time, and hopefully this is just a one-year thing.
No doubt that is the thing right there. Hopefully it just is a one-season thing.
Corey, I wanted to throw this out to you, and this just goes to show you, because I've known, you know, through the years with the, you know, fantasy playoffs and everything, I just want to throw this one out. Yeah, I thought this was crazy. You know, the online championship in, you know, the FF, you know, WC and the NFFC, you know, there's a huge field in both, obviously, every year, right? But I was looking over at the playoffs for the online championship. I have a team in it. There's 450 teams in it, right?
Yeah.
Highest score out of 450 teams this week was 204 points, which is a great score, don't get me wrong. But if you got 450 good teams, obviously.
This is good teams. These are the best of
the
best teams. You would think somebody would crack 220, somebody would crack 230.
Even more. Every year I've been doing this, and I've been doing this a while, Corey, you have that guy that jumps out to a great start, the 238, you know, the 244, the, you know, like a big number that's like, wow, great, unbelievable week. I remember the leader last year after week 14, put up a 258. I mean, 204 out of 450 teams. That means basically out of 450, maybe what? 445 of them didn't even crack 200. I mean, just low scores all across the board. And like you said, that's because the talent is gone.
No doubt. The talent is down in the NFL. The talent is down in fantasy football. But the opportunity will present itself again in a few short months to get back in the mix. Before we get back in the mix in a few short months, we do got some work to do. We are a couple minutes away from kickoff of week number 15, of course, the final four, the semifinal week in fantasy football, whatever you want to call it. Want to get into some game-by-game action. Going to rock with you for 1 hour tonight as we get ready to enjoy the games ourselves. Chris, you know, one of the good things about, you know, of course you want to be playing this time of year, and honestly speaking, I don't know what it feels like to not be playing around this time of year. I always enjoy the NFL playoffs because I kind of get to sit back and just watch the game as a fan with no rooting interest, of course, unless America's team is playing. But for the most part, it's good to kind of see the top teams go at each other. Now I'm looking at a scenario where it's week 14 and I'm watching games like, wow, you know what I'm saying? With no rooting interest, no fantasy interest, just sitting up here watching games, looking at players and enjoying the NFL, and that's kind of what it's come to for me this season. Do you get a kick out of this? I guess you probably don't. But at least one of the good things about this time of year is just getting to sit back and enjoy some NFL football.
Yeah, Corey, this is a good topic, man, because I'm going to be honest with you. This upcoming week that's coming up now, this is going to be a reality check for me because I can't remember any time ever in a long, long time where week 15, 16, these big playoff weeks, I really don't have much going on. I'm just being honest. I got eliminated, like I said, in a lot of leagues last week. And I thought, all right, I have these home leagues and a couple small high-stakes leagues. And I'm like you, Corey. I love, after the grind of 16 weeks of the fantasy season and doing the free agency and, putting so much time into reading different articles and as much information, it's a never-ending process. You know that. It's, from July straight until week 16 is over, every day is fantasy football. You know what I mean? And when that's over, I always enjoyed that week 17, sitting back, watching all the playoff races, no fantasy going on. And then I love when the NFL playoffs start and you could just sit back and enjoy the games and everything like that. So, yes, I agree with you. I love sitting back and watching the NFL playoffs. But, man, this is going to hurt in these weeks 15 and 16, not really being in the running for a big check.
Very difficult for me this past weekend, not setting a lineup, just sitting back. Sunday morning, I was kind of lost. I was twiddling my thumbs like, wow, this is, like you said, it is a reality check. And it's a feeling that you don't really want to feel. And it's a feeling that I don't plan on feeling for a long time to come. So, like you said, still got some action in places, but, we don't really sit up here and talk about, a league without a couple dollars on that. We try to be more professional-style players. So, I do got some leagues to set, more or less. I don't want to say for fun, because, but the bottom line is it's not the level of fantasy football that I've been used to playing. So, with that being said, Chris, let's just jump right to Saturday night. New York Jets, three-point road favorite against the Dallas Cowboys. Looking at a 41.5, Vegas looks like it's a low-scoring game. I think it lines up nice for Chris Ivory right off the top. But last week I sat here and I railed about how you have to play Dez Bryant in week 14 going to the scene of the crime. Now I'm going to sit up here and tell you this week, Dez Bryant needs to be on your bench. You got this ball, more than likely, without Dez Bryant. And you will continue to week 16 without Dez Bryant. If you put him in your lineup, it's a good chance you won't be playing in week 16.
And if you do have him and you're in the playoffs right now, congratulations. I don't know how you got this far with absolutely nothing from your first round draft pick, but that's a different story, I guess. Corey, this game, if you are Dez Bryant, we talked about it last week. We pretty much had him around pick like the 20th wide receiver for the week. I think after watching last week, you could drop him down 30-plus, the wide receiver position. Add to the fact, Revis is going to be on him, you got to assume, right? He's not looking like himself. He's hobbled. He's got issues. On top of that, last week was the final nail in the Cowboys' coffin. Maybe they rest him. They don't put him out there every single play. They don't want to get him hurt going into the offseason. You got to completely be off Dez Bryant this week. So if you have him and you're in the playoffs, you got this far without him, like you said, and, go as far as you can go without him again.
Yep. If he happens to hurt your feelings and puts a big number on your bench, don't even trip off it because you definitely made the right decision in regards to Dez Bryant. Right quick, though, Chris, I want to tell you, a player, the week that Dez Bryant got hurt, the player that popped, that was most interesting to Dez Bryant owners, if you got him, was Travis Benjamin. And I understand the quarterback situation in Cleveland has not been good, and they're nowhere near a good fantasy offense, but Travis Benjamin has been a nice placeholder if you picked up Benjamin in week one after Dez went down, after Benjamin had a nice game in week one.
Absolutely. And but you know what, Corey, you got to be a little worried about Travis Benjamin this week, right? I mean,
yep,
that just doesn't look like a matchup with, you know, going into Seattle. Richard Sherman, you know, most likely getting on him. Manziel throwing him the ball. They don't have the great chemistry. You know what? You're in a tough position if like you said, you know, Dez was your guy and you replaced him with Benjamin, and now you're sitting there with both of them this week. Yikes. Rough
yeah.
situation, man.
No doubt you are going behind the ball. I think Darren McFadden is a guy because of volume that you can continue to start. And you look at the other side of the football, Chris, it's kind of where I want to get your commentary at. 20 touchdowns this season between Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall, not to mention you know how much I love Ryan Fitzmagic. Chris Ivory has been a steady, solid RB2. We're starting to see the emergence of Bilal Powell. I want you to start with Decker and Marshall and what they were able to do, because this is the Scout Fantasy Show today. And all the teams, we looked through the top five teams in the FFWC playing for the big $150,000 check. All five teams had Brandon Marshall on them.
Wow. Yeah. I believe it. And I'm surprised that Decker wasn't on I don't know. Well, was Decker on any of them with Marshall or no?
Decker was on some of them with Marshall, yes.
Yeah. I mean, these were two home run picks, Corey. You know, I said it on, you know, Tony Cincata's show last week. He said, what was your best pick all year long? And I said easily by far, Eric Decker. You know, I targeted him coming into this year. The value I thought was insane on him. I was getting him 7th, 8th rounds every draft, and no one's been more consistent than him and Marshall week in and week out. Fitzpatrick was, you know, was the answer for these two guys. You know, we never know if, you know, if these guys would have been producing the way they are if Geno Smith, you know, was the quarterback all year long. I doubt it. You know, Fitzpatrick has the chemistry with these two. And, you know, Corey, this is what, you know, we talk all summer long about going into this is like the number one thing I look for when I'm trying to pick guys I really want to focus on with drafts. If I look at an offense, then I'm like, this is a good offense. This is talent in terms of the one and two with a Marshall and a Decker. These two guys are legit studs. You know, they've been to Pro Bowls. Is there anybody else that's going to mess with their targets and get in the way of these guys? You know, you see all these teams across the NFL that they have a good third or fourth option. Look at the Arizona Cardinals, you know, Corey, with, you know, John Brown some weeks has a huge week. Fitzgerald's kind of like the Marshall. He's more consistent. But then you got to deal with Michael Floyd one week. There's none of that in the Jets offense, Corey.
It's all very compact. Now, down the stretch, we have seen the addition of Bilal Powell becoming a decent fantasy option. And we've seen, you know what, looking at some of those FFWC scores, the teams that jumped to the top of the leaderboard last week were the teams that were brave enough to start Bilal Powell. Now, because I agree with you 100% on what you saw, you know, looking back at Marshall and Decker. I was on Decker everywhere. I got a lot of Chris Ivory. As soon as my quarterback went out in Romo, I went to grab Ryan Fitzpatrick. The reason why I didn't touch Brandon Marshall, because I was afraid of the injuries. I was drafting Decker, Ivory, and I was even drafting Geno Smith late in drafts. Geno Smith goes out, and the reason why I was doing it is because the Chan Gailey offensive system is fantasy friendly. And you bring Chan Gailey, you make the hire, you bring Chan Gailey in there. Even if he fixes Geno a little bit, I still felt that Decker was the better shot at staying healthy, and he had the better round value attached to him. If Ryan Fitzpatrick was coming into the season as a starter, I would have picked. I've been drafting Brandon Marshall a lot more places and taking a gamble on the edge.
Yeah,
that's why
and you know what?
Is so important. Fantasy football is 365, people, because when the coaching changes and the Black Monday start happening and the turnover and the coaching starts happening, somebody ends up in a position to be an asset for fantasy owners.
I couldn't agree more, Corey, without a doubt. And, you know, the other thing with Decker is the value dropped on him, and he had so much value. People, he was going from being the miscast as a number one receiver last year. And with Marshall coming in, him able to be the number two now in that offense actually gave him way more value. It's a rare situation, you know? It's a rare situation where a team, you know, a player gains more value by dropping to the number two wide receiver than the number one, you know, wide receiver. But that's exactly what happened in this, you know, in this instance with Decker. The Bilal Powell thing is amazing. You know, all these teams were able to play him. He's like a PPR monster. He's like a Danny Woodhead from early in the year and a Gio Bernard. This guy's catching balls out of the backfield. And with running backs being depleted, you know, this guy, you could rely on him, I think, going forward to catch the five or six balls a week out of the backfield and, you know, and contribute. He's an RB2 for these last couple of weeks, I think.
I agree 100%. He's an RB2 for the last couple of weeks. Like we said, blocking with an hour today. Want to move right along. The Chicago Bears and the Minnesota Vikings, 43 is the number. The Vikings are 5-point home favorite in this contest right here, Chris. And speaking of systems and offenses and coaching changes, did Teddy North Turner was supposed to get this thing right? Obviously, I don't know where it happened. I think we'll learn more about it in the offseason. The Vikings are playing good. Nobody's really mentioning it right now. But we talked about it last week. Teddy Bridgewater did regress.
Yeah.
And this offense, who I had this offense circled as a potential breakout offense where you could possibly find some fantasy value. The only value came from Stephon Diggs, who has clearly hit the rookie wall now. Other than that, if you wasn't taking Adrian Peterson in the first five, it was nothing in the Minnesota Vikings offense that was North Turner or fantasy friendly.
The whole offense crapped out, Corey. It's about it last week about, like, what happened to Charles Johnson? Is he on the team anymore? Like, it's you don't even hear about this guy during the game. You know, forget about, you know, it was only last year that everybody was in love with Cordarrelle Patterson. He's irrelevant. I mean, really, what does this offense have? I was shocked last week. You know, they went into Arizona on that Thursday night game, and they actually played a really good game and almost won. And they moved the ball, and I'm watching the game. I'm like, how is this team moving the ball as much as – and it's just dinking and dunking. Like, you know, nobody's a major star. Your boy Mike Wallace, I was laughing after we trashed him last week, actually caught five balls and scored a touchdown, but, you know, figures. That he would do that
after
then.
After a string of zeros, he decides to show off on the waiver wire.
In the playoffs.
in the playoffs, you're right.
I mean, but it wasn't a monster game, but hey, you know what? 5 for 45 and a touchdown, I think it was. It was probably his best game all year long. But, you know what?
Week 6 had been all right.
Yeah, you would have took it. You would have took it. But Diggs, like you said, hit the wall now. I mean, you're not getting anything out of this guy. And it's all Adrian Peterson, man. It's, you know what? I love him this week, again, versus the Bears at home. I would, if you're going to pay up for a running back in daily this week, Adrian Peterson would be my guy.
I agree with you 100% on that one. Zach Miller on the Chicago Bears side of the football has made an actual push to be started in fantasy leagues right now. So I'm intrigued in what you think about Zach Miller, who's kind of, I don't want to say come out of nowhere, had at least five targets in four of the last five games. Miller looks like he's a player for these last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I agree, man. I really do. I was sitting there going, wow, you know what? This guy's like a low-end tight end one this week, with the tight ends being so bad. Cutler throws to him, and now with Alshon Jeffrey missing practice, I'm sure Jeffrey will play again. This guy's been, like, you know, questionable every week for the whole season. And, you know, he hasn't practiced these last couple of days with a calf, but if he ever missed a game and wasn't ready and they wanted to sit Jeffrey out, man, does Zach Miller just skyrocket, I think, into a top five tight end play this week?
No doubt. Let me see. Miller or Jason Witten?
Huh? Oh, Zach Miller. Over Witten easily.
Miller or Safarian Jenkins?
I knew you were going to say that. I had a feeling you were going to bring up that bum's name. I'm so pissed, Corey. That guy burned me last week so bad, Safarian Jenkins. I told you during the week. But, you know, it's scary. We break up with these guys, we hate them, and then the next week something happens, and we're like, oh, my God, I kind of like them again. And look, Vincent Jackson is out tonight for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And what happens when either Evans or Vincent Jackson, you know, sits out for the Bucs? Safarian Jenkins becomes the number two option and gets more involved in the offense. So, you know, that happened in week one and two. So,
yep.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised. Teams have been doing well against the tight end. Tight ends have been doing well against the Rams. I wouldn't surprise me if Safarian Jenkins actually had a game tonight that was pretty good.
Last one, Zach Miller or Kyle Rudolph?
Zach Miller. Zach
one
Miller,
more.
I guess.
Zach Miller.
Yeah.
Zach Miller or Vernon Davis?
Zach Miller.
Kyle
Rudolph
Zach
one
Miller.
Kyle Rudolph was actually tough.
Recently. Yeah.
Yeah, I got no problems with Rudolph. If anybody wants to say Rudolph over Zach Miller this week, I got no problem with that at all. All the other ones you threw at me, I'd go Zach Miller easily, though.
The Atlanta Falcons are on the road in – Atlanta stinks – on the road in Jacksonville. Jacksonville is actually a 3-point favorite in this game. How about that? 49 is total in this one, Chris. The Jacksonville Jaguars, a 3-point home favorite versus the Atlanta Falcons, who were 6-0 at one point this season. Our buddy Adam Ronis always points out that they were 6-0, but they played every team in the NFC East. That's probably a good reason why they were 6-0. But here we go. It's Jacksonville Jaguar offense heating up and carrying teams down the stretch. Now we add Denard Robinson to the mix. Denard Robinson, this kid can play. He has some talent. I think he's a viable option with the Yeldon injury.
Corey, this is the top game I would focus in on for daily this week.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. There are a ton of options that I love on both sides of the ball in this game, but it's crazy. You bring up – let's start with Denard Robinson, and let's get off this game for 1 second. Isn't it crazy? We're in week 15 of the fantasy playoffs, and all these running backs that jump out to the waiver wire, and when we play high-stakes leagues, there's no more adding and dropping now. So we're talking home leagues.
Yep.
But it is amazing. I have two of my good friends playing each other in a home league, and they sent me their lineups against each other. One had Tim Hightower and Bryce Brown in it. The other one had Denard Robinson and Brandon Bolden. I was like, this is amazing. This is week 15 of fantasy playoffs, and these are all waiver wire guys that weren't even on people's rosters a month ago. It's crazy to me. It really is amazing. I mean, look at all these guys. But let's start with Denard Robinson. Great fill-in this week. Got a great matchup. I don't know how you would rank the waiver wire running backs this week with the Hightowers and the Boldens and the Denard Robinsons. I've heard everyone's opinion all across the industry, and they've been all over the place. But for 1 week only, I think Denard Robinson would be about the second guy that I like. I do love Brandon Bolden more. But Denard Robinson's got a great situation versus an Atlanta run defense that can't stop anybody. So he's a good play this week. I got to like him.
No doubt. I agree with you. Of course, you know the suspects as usual in that Jacksonville Jaguar offense. Roll all of them out this weekend in this fantasy-friendly contest. On the other side of the football, we saw Devontae Freeman pop, and now we've seen Devontae Freeman kind of settle into what we thought Devontae Freeman would be. But while he was rocking and rolling, he would play a lot of teams that are playing right now to the top of the leaderboard. But if you're a Devontae Freeman owner playing right now, you're kind of sitting yourself looking at this team at the sixth seed, throwing Denard Robinson and Bryce Brown at you, and you're like, I kind of would rather have those guys.
I know. It really is crazy, Corey. It's a crazy season, and it's true. You know, these guys that jumped off the waiver, I'm like, wow, I like Tim Hightower this week. I like Denard Robinson this week. I like Brandon Bolden this week. Who was the other guy? I'm blanking right now, but those three guys right there alone, I'm like, these guys weren't even on people's rosters 3 weeks ago, and now they're going to play a major role in winning someone a fantasy championship. So that's crazy. But this game, Corey, tell me, I know I'm the Julio Jones guy that's obsessed with Julio this year. Holy, I mean, I'm talking, let me call it now. Julio's going for 10 catches this week for 180 yards and 2 touchdowns. And those numbers seem to sound ridiculous. This is Julio Jones ape shit week.
This is Julio Jones' gift to you for drafting him in the first round. This is his gift week right here. He's going to get you to week 16. Julio Jones will take you to week 16, and he's an anchor play in DFS games this week.
I haven't – every lineup I've made this week in daily, the first person that goes into every lineup is Julio Jones, and I don't even – it's Julio Jones. Boom. So I don't care how much the price is. Julio. I'm 30-plus points. Mark it down easily. Whatever you get after that, you know, is gravy. 30-plus points, Julio. Sandwich in between two tough games with Norman. Hasn't scored in over in five games. Great matchup. Great weather. I'll keep going, Corey, when you want me to stop. But
I'm going to stop you right now because I'm going to tell you what the problem is.
Okay.
The stiff that he has behind center and Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Who?
Okay.
This is the rub on Matt Ryan coming in 2015. He has a high floor. The bottom fell out. The bottom fell out. Matt Ryan is a bum.
He's been so bad that everyone's talking now that, you know, he's definitely got an elbow injury or a shoulder injury. And, you know, after the season, we'll find out really what's about. I mean, when you've played so bad that everyone's pretty much said, all right, you're definitely hurt. I mean, it's one of those things that you better come out and say you're hurt. But you know what? I love this game so much. Like I said, you know my love for Julio in this game, and I expect it to go off. But on the other side of the ball is my second favorite wide receiver play of the week, and it's Allen Robinson coming off of a slow game versus the Falcons secondary. Julio, Allen Robinson. Let me throw this at you, Corey. You always throw these at me. Blake Bortles or Cam Newton?
I got to go Cam Newton. Cam Newton has been phenomenal so far this season. Mm-hmm. And I think, don't get me wrong, the Giants are a hell of a matchup in a game like this because the Giants are notorious for knocking these teams off or going toe-to-toe with these teams. But with no Jonathan Stewart, he's going to score. He's scored all the touchdowns when Stewart is there. But also, I think we see Carolina shoot it out with the Giants this week. I really do. I don't think we see ball control Carolina. I think we see Carolina come in there and try to prove a point. And the Giants have time enough for them, especially in a game like this. I like Cam Newton a lot this week.
All right. I mean, a lot of people have said
you think you can start Blake over Cam this week?
I think that it's justified if you do. I'll say that. I mean, it's ballsy. Don't get me wrong. To, you know, come this far with Cam. But I think Bortles has established himself as a locked-in top seven fantasy quarterback every week now. And the matchup is great. And, you know, there are some obstacles for Cam Newton this week without Jonathan Stewart or a run game to rely on. Now, I don't know if that helps or hurts Cam Newton's stats this week, Corey. But I know on the road, a fired up team trying to make the playoffs, you know, it's not going to come easy for Cam. And, you know, a banged up Greg Olsen, it just seems like this is like a 25-point game for Cam Newton. You know, something that's good, not great. I'm not saying he's going to bomb out. But I'm just saying, I don't know if Cam's given you the 40 or 45 that he's given in these past months, whereas Bortles has been around high 30s, low 40s almost every week, did it again last week, and versus the Falcons at home, I think this game could be a 38-31 type game. And I hear what you're saying with the – you think the Panthers-Giants game could be that way, but it's a tough call for me. What if I gave you Bortles versus Roethlisberger? What would you say?
Oh, that's a tough one right there. That's a tough one for Big. That's a tough one for Big Ben. And I like Big Ben everywhere, and I'm not really scared of Big Ben in Denver because they're still going to wing it. You know what I mean?
Right.
We'll get into that competition, you know, a little bit more as we continue. So that's a tough call right there. I think I may give the slight. You know, I think I have to go Bortles. Yep, I think I have to go Bortles in that one right there. Blake Bortles has been phenomenal this season. Statistically, statistically, he's been phenomenal. As a on-the-field NFL quarterback, he still needs some improvement. But it's starting to come together, but he is getting the ball. He's getting the job done fantasy. He's a better fantasy quarterback than he is an NFL quarterback.
Oh, without a doubt. That is 100% true. I agree with that. And it'll be interesting to see where he goes next year in drafts. People, I bet, you know, load up early on the other positions and feel they can, you know, win a championship with Bortles, you know, in the later rounds.
It's going to be interesting to see how that whole situation plays out with that one.
He's got
like you said, what'd you say?
He's got weapons now. That's the difference. Allen Robinson, Hearns, Julius Thomas back. He's got good weapons.
Oh, this team was supposed to have Justin Blackmon, too.
Yeah.
Justin Blackman's better than all of them.
Is he completely done, or is he back in the mix next year?
He could possibly be back in the mix next year, but I think the Jacksonville Jaguars probably got to the point where they're done with him, and I think he may have gotten to the point where he's not even considering the NFL anymore. He's a very mixed-up young man.
He was good.
Moving
man.
Along. He can play. That guy can play, but, you know, he has so many other issues. 41 is the total for the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. Kansas City going on the road, 7-point road favorite. This is one of the games you want to stay away from this week, fantasy-wise. Do like Jeremy Maclin and the crew over at the Chiefs because it's a very limited amount of people that touch the football. Albert Wilson is a name that pops up. I think it's more of a flex play for a 14 or a 16-team lead, though, even with the good matchup against Baltimore.
Yeah, even if that, Corey, I you know, there's no way if I'm fighting for a championship, I'm going to rely or bank on Albert Wilson. I know the matchup is good, but he's third in the pecking order, actually fourth, really, if you want to talk about the run game. You know, you got Maclin, you got Kelsey. Spencer Ware, I think, will miss this game, and I think Charcandrick West is now, you know, in play to be a really good play this week. I know the Ravens are tough against the, you know, the run, or been a little
but
tougher against the run.
But West is going to get too much volume.
But you know what? He could catch the ball out of the backfield, and even if he runs 50, 60 yards with the volume, you know what? Catching 6 or 7 balls now a week is gold at this point. So I think it's that
absolutely
type of game.
Correct. I agree with you 100% on that, Chris. And like I said, I mean, it's very similar to how I look at Darren McFadden against the Jets this weekend.
Yeah.
Okay, it may not be great, but guess what? He's going to have his hand on the football at least 20 times.
Yeah, that's a great point with McFadden. The Jets are tough to run against that D-line, but you know what? This has a 7-catch McFadden game written all over it. You know, you're looking for volume, Corey. All these guys, you know, if you have them, and even if they are in tough matchups, these guys all catch the ball out of the backfield, and that's going to be the game plan for a lot of these, you know, a lot of these teams, I would think.
No doubt, especially when you not able to run the football against stout run defenses like the New York Jets and the Baltimore Ravens. On Baltimore side of the football, I mean, if you're doing that in Week 15, I'm wondering how you got it.
Yeah, that's pretty much a miracle. But I do see a lot of Buck Allen around in the playoff field. So, you know, what do you think about Buck Allen this week? Would you roll him out confidently?
I'm not going to sleep like a baby. But what I will say is this: I do think that he gets the volume. You know what I'm saying? The same thing. He gets the volume. I just don't know if he gets as much as the volume or talent is quite there. Even though he has looked good. But with Buck Allen, you do like the fact that somebody got to – they're not just going to roll over, Chris. They're not just going to hike the ball and take a knee. You know, they probably should. But
yeah.
Buck Allen is the guy handling the football.
There's a lot of – like you said, man, at the top of the show, there's a lot of garbage teams and a lot of garbage teams with garbage talent. But you know what? I think a major upgrade this week for the Ravens is you get Jimmy Clausen back out of there, thank God. And Matt Schaub comes back in. As bad as Schaub is, he made a living for 2 weeks dropping the ball off to Buck Allen out of the backfield with that 12-catch game versus the Dolphins a couple weeks ago. That was Matt Schaub giving it to him. So even if you cut that in half, you know, you're at a 6-catch, 7-catch game for Buck Allen. And, you know, the volume on the ground will be there. I think Buck Allen could sneakily be a top 12, 15 pick at running back this week.
Did the Ravens cover the seven-point spread?
You know what? They fight tough, this team. You know, Harbaugh isn't going to quit on anybody.
They don't get blown out. They don't get blown
out. Yeah, at home. That's a big number. And you know what I love on the gambling front? This Chiefs team has to lay an egg sooner or later, Corey. You know, they're on a 8-game winning streak. This team, you got to remember, Corey, this team started off 1-5. They're 8-5 now. So everyone's already locking them in as a 10-game winning streak going into the playoffs. But when they get to the playoffs, if and when they do, and they win these last three, I can't remember a less than average 11-5 wild card team in the Chiefs. I mean, what does this team have that's so? You lost Jamal Charles and went on a 10-game winning streak. How crazy is that?
They're playing in a weak AFC. You know what I'm saying? They're playing in a weak. Denver's a weak team. We talked about this, I think, even offline or maybe even on the show. I think Pittsburgh has a very good chance to come out the AFC.
Oh, I couldn't agree more with that, Corey. I was telling my friend yesterday, I still love the Patriots, and everybody's get off the Patriots. They're falling apart now. They're getting too many injuries. No, they're not. They're getting everybody back when they need them. You know, Edelman's already practicing. Gronkowski's healthy. I don't care who's running the ball in the backfield. They don't care. It's Tom Brady and the wide receivers and Gronk. Like, you know, their defense is tight. I love the Patriots to go back and repeat again this year. But I will say this. If there's any team that can beat them, it's the Steelers, in my opinion.
They have always dominated the Steelers in postseason competition. This very well could be the year the Pittsburgh Steelers get them back. And if it does happen, it would likely happen a divisional round, which more than likely would be the first time the New England Patriots take the field right there at Gillette Stadium. Pittsburgh going there and knocked them off. I think Pittsburgh is headed to the big game in the Bay Area this year. The Buffalo Bills and the Washington Redskins, 44 is the number. I do think there's a little bit of fantasy goodness in there. Like I said, our man Sammy Watkins, Chris.
I think
Sammy Watkins has pushed himself into a 2016 late second, early third round draft pick.
All right. That's pretty bold. I'll give you that one. This last month, without a doubt, he has. He's shown he's got the third round talent. That's what he's showing. You can draft him in the third round probably next year. He's legit. He's producing every week. Another good matchup on deck. That doesn't hurt. You know, week in and week out, Watkins is having good matchups. And I expect them to do it again this week.
Like LeSean McCoy in the matchup against a very familiar foe in Washington. Tyrod Taylor also in action this weekend, in my opinion. You look at the Washington side of the football, you talk about the FFWC and looking at some of those top five teams, Jordan Reed. A lot of those teams. The rub against Jordan Reed was, this guy can get hurt at any minute.
Yeah.
But if he plays, Jimmy Graham-type talent.
Absolutely. I always love Jordan Reed. He's always on a lot of my teams every year, and I always get burned by him, and it seems like I go right back to him, and I'm like, oh, man. And I benefited from him a lot this year, and I just wish I had – you know, I have a couple of Tyler Eifert, Jordan Reed teams this year, and I still look at them now, and they missed the playoffs, and I'm like, God, how did I miss the playoffs with a Tyler Eifert, Jordan Reed combo?
Exactly. Tyler Eifert scoring all those touchdowns and Jordan Reed getting all those catches. How did these teams miss the playoffs?
Corey, I wish I could tell you, man. I really do. Every team was different. I felt like all my teams were just missing something at each position, you know? The Eifert and Jordan Reed team that I'm talking about had Todd Gurley on it, and Luck and Dalton, you know, and Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
With
and that team is not playing right now. It's hard to think.
And that team,
the problem is you don't have Chuck Kansas West. What are you doing?
Yeah, it's crazy. But what are you gonna do, man? George Reed, without a doubt, I go right back to him again this week. Top three tight end, right? Better than Jordan. With a Tyler Eifert, most likely, I think Tyler Eifert winds up sitting this week. He hasn't played all. He hasn't practiced all week with a concussion. Going out to the West Coast, I think they leave him home, tell him to rest up again, sit him out this week to get back, healthy off the concussion. He's been banged up. He missed, that week 2 weeks ago. So I think they sit him out. Jordan Reed is a top play with Gronkowski and Greg Olsen right now. Those are your top three tight ends.
No doubt. I agree with you 100% on that one. Jordan Reed definitely getting himself a fancy on this season. If you go back to him next year, the rub is going to be the same. Watch out for the injuries, but good to see a good, healthy season out of him because the young man can definitely play. New England Patriots in 22
pass. Corey, how bad do you just want to fast forward to August and just start drafting again, man?
I'm ready to go right
this.
Now, Jack. I'm ready to go right now. You can line them up right now. We can line them up right now. I normally do my first draft the Monday after the Super Bowl. It's normally when I do my first draft. Oh, speaking of drafts, make sure to check out Scout Fantasy, playscoutfantasy.com. Scout Fantasy's playoff championship has the grand prize, and you're playing a six-team league
mm-hmm.
with a draft. It's a six-team league with a draft. Draft takes about 45 minutes to an hour. It's a good price point at $199. And, somebody in the league will win, I think, at least $500 or $600. And, of course, you're competing for but maybe a $25,000 grand prize. I'm not quite sure. Got to check on that one. But definitely go over to playscoutfantasy.com. I'll be hopping in a couple of those leagues too, Chris.
Absolutely. I want to get it. I don't want to have to wait till next year. And this fantasy draft, I love the idea. I love the whole, the whole thing about the FFWC doing this with the, sit down. It'll only take you 45 minutes, get into a real snake draft against five other guys. I like the whole idea. It was a great idea. And you know what? I'll be jumping in there with you, man.
Yeah, no doubt. Those leagues are definitely a lot of fun. I know our boy, Ronis won one 2 years ago, and our guy, Dr. Roto, won one last year and went kind of high in overall. When it comes to a snake draft for the playoffs, Chris,
mm-hmm.
the interesting thing about it is you're actually handicapping the playoff field.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So, you're trying to pick. Of course, you want to hit on that team that's going to take it from the wild card round possibly to the Super Bowl, accumulating that up. But you also have to take in those teams that have the bye, having that easier road to get to the Super Bowl. So definitely interesting to see where your handicap and your fantasy field at.
Yeah. A lot of good strategy.
I don't know where
to
play Scout Fantasy. Yeah, a lot of strategy goes in that one. And you're probably mm-hmm. going to need – it's probably going to be a couple different teams to kind of quench your thirst on that one, especially with those 45-minute drafts. I got Chad Schrader will be in every single league. So you can almost get ready for that. Speaking of the playoffs, you will be selecting a team from the New England Patriots when you sign up for one of those drafts. You'll be getting some of their players in the league. They are a 14-point home favorite against the Titans this weekend, Chris. Got about 10 minutes left to go in the program. Obviously, just give me a couple of quick points on the Patriots going into this one.
Well, you got to love all of them, but Brandon Bolden, man. I could see a huge game from Brandon Bolden. I think the key stat last week was, once Flat went out, Brandon Bolden pretty much got his hands on the ball all the time over James White. I know a lot of people are going to go, oh, James White's the man now. But Bolden's going to be that first and second down back, I believe, in this offense going forward. I always like, let me talking about it. I always drafted Brandon Bolden for these last two or three years on this. In the last 19, in the 19th or 20th round, I would throw, I would just take him as a flyer. I always liked his talent. I never knew why he didn't get any love really, but. I know he's your boy too, Corey, Brandon Bolden, right? Free agent
me and Brandon Bolden, got beat by very close to knocking down a nice finish in the cut line. Won the online championship last year, and Brandon Bolden caused me to misspend my Fab money. On the Tennessee Titans side of the football, Chris, I don't think it's much over there.
No, not much, buddy. Kendall Wright's going to miss this game, it looks like. That leaves Doriel Green-Beckham, if you want to take a Hail Mary shot at him. But go back to Delanie Walker. That's the guy. If you're going to put anybody out of the Titan, it's Delanie Walker.
Next game is Arizona and Philadelphia. Nice high fantasy total at 51. Chris, a couple quick thoughts on Arizona, DFS, and, you know, I don't really think it's nothing much to talk about season-long because the season-long aspect, I think you're rolling all of these guys out there.
Mike Floyd is really cheaply priced this week on both sites, Corey, and I know he's one of the most popular picks coming into this week. Me personally, I'm having a tough time figuring out which Cardinal receiver, and I want a Cardinal receiver in my lineups this week in this matchup. This is my second favorite game out of all of them on the schedule after the Jacksonville-Atlanta game. I want shares of this Arizona offense. I'm just going to, you know, spread it around a little bit. A couple of John Brown lineups, Larry Fitzgerald, Michael Floyd lineups. I don't know which one of these three is going to pop off, but you know what? My guess is Fitzgerald has the biggest game out of all of them. Nobody to cover him, and he's coming off of, his worst game of the season pretty much. Last week, I think Palmer gets him, into it early and often this week.
All right, up next, Chris. Right quick, Philadelphia Eagles side of the football. We got about 8 minutes left to go, and got some games to get to.
Good luck, buddy, with that. You're figuring out.
yeah. Good luck.
Who do you want? That bum, Jordan Matthews. You want me to trust that bum?
I
got him, man.
I agree with you. Good luck on that matchup right there. Carol, would you roll with Sproles this week or no? I was going to say Sproles is the only guy I would have a little bit of trust for.
I think so. I mean, but even then, you got to cross your fingers. So, nothing much to see here, man.
All right, Carolina and the New York Giants. 48 is the number one in the primetime 1 o'clock matchups this week. Odell Beckham and Josh Norman. Here we go, Chris.
Matchup of the year, buddy. That's everybody's. This is the prize fight. This is Tyson Holyfield back in the day. And I'm going to be sitting down and I'm going to be watching this one. And it's just a matter of the same thing we talked about last week with Julio. Odell goes into the slot a ton. Now is Odell going to do that again this week? And is Josh Norman going to follow him? And Julio didn't do much with Josh Norman on him last week. He got, all his catches and yards, most of them, when he went into the slot. So that's what this matchup comes down to, Corey. It's plain and simple for me. Now, I will say this. I think Odell Beckham is the one guy that could take Norman one-on-one when he goes on the outside and have a pretty good game. As great as Norman is, Odell Beckham's on fire right now. And with the way this guy runs and cuts and everything, I don't even know if Norman could slow him down. I don't look for the same 5-catch, 6-catch, 150-yard, 2-touchdown game that he just had. But I think Odell's good for about 6 for 100, 6 for 90 and a touchdown.
All right. On the other side of the football, the Carolina Panthers, I tell you what, if you got the guts to put Ted Ginn Jr. in your lineup this week, you are a better man than me.
I think about Ted Ginn. I think about you every time I see Ted Ginn.
I'm sure you do.
I was watching last week, and Cam Newton threw two bombs to him, and I'm like, man, I hope my boy the exec played him. I hope he went back to him in daily.
I did.
He held on.
He
can't
let me down.
He even held on to the ball.
I know exactly. He knew I wasn't playing, that's why.
Yeah, exactly. Then you'll put him in this week, and he'll go 1 for 4 with 12 drops,
There you go.
But I don't know. This Carolina, who do you trust besides Greg Olsen, this week?
Cam Newton.
Besides Cam, I'm saying.
Yeah,
out there. You know what I mean? Like, All right, let's talk about this Carolina backfield real quick, Corey. You know, everyone is throwing Cameron Artis Payne's name out there, but this guy has not gotten a carry since week 6. We're in week 15. So why is everybody just going to the well, Cameron Artis Payne, next guy up? No, I see it a little differently. Fozzie Whitaker has been the guy that's been active, the guy that's been getting the crumbs after Stewart and Tolbert. I understand that, you know, the coach has been, you know, saying, oh, Fozzie will, you know, mix in and Cameron Artis Payne will get some touches too. If they trusted Cameron Artis Payne, they would have gave him at least one carry in the last 9 weeks, right?
Oh, he's just playing over Jonathan Stewart, I guarantee you. Because it's not like Jonathan Stewart is tearing it up.
No, but he's a volume monster. Yeah, I mean, you mean what, over Fozzie, you're saying?
No, I'm saying if Artis Payne was a guy that can come right in and step in and take the job, we just, like you said, we'd have seen him more. We'd have seen
right.
more of him these past couple weeks.
Yeah, he's been inactive. Like, at least be a backup where, you know, you could come in. But when Stewart's on the sideline nicked up, you see Fozzie Whitaker, you see Tolbert. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Cameron Artis Payne got one or two carries this week and Fozzie Whitaker was a guy that, you know, got 10 or 12 carries.
I agree with you 100% on that. We need to move along. About 4 minutes left to go in the program. Cleveland and Seattle, I think you know the situation here. There's nothing really much to talk about. RC here. Keep riding the Dougie Baldwin train. Chris, quickly, how would you feel starting Bryce Brown this week?
I wouldn't feel too good, man. I got to see it first. I got to see it. Now that they brought back D. Michael, that just throws a monkey wrench into all of it, I think, you know? The guy that's familiar with the playbook over the guy that's just coming in off the street. They're both not good, obviously. They've been, you know, they were unemployed. So I wouldn't feel too confident, even though the matchup's pretty good.
Green Bay and Oakland, I think you know where to go here. What do you think about the options in the Green Bay passing game?
Well, I mean, do you believe in the James Jones revenge game? Oakland cut him? You know?
Nope.
I don't. Yeah, I don't. I'm not getting burned by James Jones again.
You comfortable with Eddie Lacy this week?
Comfortable is a strong word, buddy. But, yeah, you know, I play him. I would play him. If I had him, he's in there. You know, he's a top 15 play.
James Starks.
James Starks, a flex play. Let me throw it. I know they're short on time. A flex play.
A flex play. I agree with you on that one. Miami and San Diego, I think all the usual suspects are good to go in this one. If the Miami Dolphins would like to give Lamar Miller the ball 20 times a game, they would probably win a game, and Lamar Miller fantasy owners would have a nice week. That could very well happen in this competition, and you got to like everything as far as Jarvis Landry and some of the guys on the Dolphins that got you there. Devontae Parker, very risky play this week. The Denver Broncos and the Pittsburgh Steelers, DFS-wise, I'm not worried. I'm going to AB 84. I'm going with Antonio Brown. Got about a minute and a half left to go in this one. Chris, anything interesting on Denver's side of the ball?
Denver's side of the ball. Demaryius versus that Pittsburgh secondary. I think Osweiler's coming back to earth a little bit. But he does have eyes for Demaryius Thomas. 10 catches, 95 yards last week. I don't think Pittsburgh will struggle this game offensively. So I think Denver's going to have to be playing catch-up. Demaryius Thomas is a nice sneaky play. Real quick,
got
Corey,
about a minute left. Go ahead.
Okay. That San Diego Miami game.
Pittsburgh is a 7-point favorite. Go ahead.
Yeah, in Pittsburgh. That San Diego Miami game, I just want to say that's a sneaky DFS game right there. That has a potential with two bad defenses to be a high scoring game and some fantasy goodness. I look into that game also for people listening.
Cincinnati and San Francisco, I think you go back to AJ Green this week, especially if Tyler Eifert is not involved in the mix. The San Francisco 49ers, the only person you could play is Sean Drone. Detroit and New Orleans, you might as well warm everybody up in that one. Chris, you pick us home.
Yeah. The foot on the gas in that game. Two bad defenses. And you know what? Monday night on the turf, in the dome. Calvin, I think you got – Calvin's a tricky play this week. Don't you agree, Corey?
I love Calvin Johnson this week.
Okay. But he is working on a bum ankle right now, and he hasn't been producing these last couple weeks. He's a little – I worry about him a little bit. That's all.
No, I understand the worry on that sense, but the matchup is nice. When we talk to you next week, it'll be time to play for a fantasy football championship.